Biometric topology session. We have two more talks today. Susanna Dansko, is that roughly right? She's going to be talking about COVID ophthalmology via hyperplane arrangements, I believe. So we'll have maybe, I guess, I'm done announcing for now. Sorry, I'm out of space. go ahead.
I'd like to thank the organizers for
Giving
inviting me to this conference. And this talk is maybe a little bit less geometric or topological than most of the talks in this session. So I'd like to start by trying to convince you that hyperplane arrangements are worthy of studying and are interesting objects, and then give you some broad idea of what Tony and I, this is all joint work with Anthony Licata, so what Tony and I have been doing, and then hopefully I'll still have time to give you a little bit of the technical details, but if not, then so be it. So first of all, let me tell you what a hyperplane arrangement is. It's a very simple object. It's a vector space with an inner product. Along with a finite number of hyperplanes in it, where hyperplanes are co-dimension one subspaces. So let's say there's n of these. So one way to define what these hyperplanes are is by giving their normal vectors. So let me call the normal vector of hi. Is nu I. Of course, when I say the normal vector of hi, that's a lie. It's not well defined, but it's well defined up to scale. So why are these things interesting? One reason that that I think they are is because they include a lot of other interesting objects as subclasses. For example, they include graphs. Let me tell you why that is. If you have a graph, you can associate a hyperplane arrangement to it the following way. You take, so your graph has some vertex set and edge set. So if the vertex set of the graph consists of k vertices, then you'll set your ambient vector space to be r to the k. So your basis of your ambient vector space is in one-to-one correspondence with the vertices of the graph. And then to each edge, you associate a hyperplane. If your edge connects vertex I and vertex j in the graph, this is edge E, then you'll have a hyperplane HE, which is defined by the equation XI minus XJ equals 0, or the normal vector 1 at coordinate I and negative 1 at coordinate J. So to each graph, you can associate a hyperplane. And this determines the graph as long as you don't have loop edges. If you have loop edges, then you'll get a degenerate hyperplanes defined by the equation xi minus xi equals 0, so they will be the whole space. And you will know that there's, from that, you'll know that there's a loop edge somewhere, but it will not be clear at which vertex there's a loop edge. But as long as it's a simple graph, it's an actual inclusion. Now, inside graphs, there's an interesting subclass, which is planar graphs. And planar graphs are in one-to-one correspondence with alternating link projections. Actually, maybe it's a two-to-one correspondence, but more or less, they correspond to alternating link projections. and I'll show you what the construction for this is. Take a mean projection. I'll draw the only knot which I can draw, which is the trefoil. Checkerboard shade it. Well, you have to make a choice. There's two ways that you can checkerboard shade it, but make one choice. So I'm going to choose these ones to be these ones to be dark. And then you associate the graph to it the following way. You put a vertex in each of the shaded regions, and then draw an edge across every crossing. So you get a planar graph. Now, of course, well, this is well defined once you have chosen a checkerboard shading, but going the other way, you don't remember whether the crossing was a positive or a negative crossing. So if the link projection is alternating, then all of the what's called shaded signs of the crossings will be the same, so it won't be an ambiguity. And in general, you can generalize this construction a little bit to include all link projections. But before I say that, I'd like to say that there's a nice feature of planar graphs, which is that they have a notion of duality, right? If you the dual of a planar graph is that you take a vertex for each of the faces of the graph, and then the edges will be in one-to-one correspondence with the edges. This is actually what happens if you had chosen the opposite checkerboard shading. You would get the planar dual of the graph. So these guys have planar duality. But that doesn't make sense for graphs in general. You can't take the dual of a graph and get another graph. However, it does make sense as hyperplane arrangements. So if you go through this construction of associating a hyperplane arrangement to a planar graph, you get a hyperplane arrangement. That does have a dual as a hyperplane arrangement, and it's called the Gale dual. So these ones have Gale duality. And it's I won't say exactly what it is, but it's a nice notion of duality, and it generalizes planar graph duality. So in that sense, you can take the dual of any graph. It just won't be a graph. It will be a cool graph, but it makes sense as a hyperplane. Okay, so one more thing I'd like to say preliminarily is how you make sense of this construction for link projections in general. So if you have crossings of both positive and negative signs, well, then you'll have to deal with sign graphs. So in general, if you have a link projection, then you can associate to the sign planar graph. Which just means that each edge of the graph will be marked by either a plus or a minus, and that will remind you of the sign of the crossing that it came from so that you can reconstruct the graph. You can go two levels up to signed hyperplane arrangements, which just means that it's the same thing except each of the hyperplanes will come marked with a sign. Okay, but as topologists, what we really care about is not planar link projections, right? It's links. And what's the difference between link projections and links? It's Rademeister moves. So what we really care about is link projections modulo Rademeister moves. And you can generalize Rideomeister moves to crafts and to hyperplane arrangements. So let me just show you one example of Rideomeister 2. So suppose you have a Rideomeister 2 move, and suppose I've chosen this checkerboard shading. Then the graph corresponding to this is, well, there's two vertices, and these two vertices are connected by two parallel edges, and these crossings necessarily, if it's Rideomeister 2, they will have the opposite sign, so one of them will be a positive and the other one will be a negative. And then there may be other edges coming out of these vertices if these strands have other crossings on them, we don't know. But what we know for sure is that there's two vertices connected by two parallel edges of the opposite sign. And if you pull the two things up, the two strands apart, then what happens is, so this will be shaded and this will be shaded to be consistent. And you'll have the two vertices here. So what the move says is that whenever you have two parallel edges of the opposite sign, you can remove them. This is Rideomeister 2 for graphs. And then Rideomeister 2 for hyperplane arrangements would say that if you have two hyperplanes which coincide, except they come with opposite signs, again, the sign is just a marking, just an extra piece of combinatorial information, then you can remove them.
So you're introducing an equivalence relation on signed
hyperplane. Equivalence relation on signed hyperplane.
Now, if instead of opposite crossings, you had a real class that you couldn't undo, that would correspond to repetition of the hyperplane upstairs.
Repetition
that's allowed.
Of the hyperplanes, but same sign on both of them.
So you allow that.
So you can hyperplanes can be repeated.
Okay.
But if they come with opposite signs, you can do this Rideomeister move of removing them, the same way you can put in two hyperplanes, which are the same except they come with opposite signs. If you have two hyperplanes which are the same, but they come with the same sign, then you cannot remove them. That's not a Rideomeister 2, but a real. So. That's the big picture of what hyperplane arrangements are and how they relate to combinatorics and topology, at least a few ways in which they relate. Now, this thing that we do here, taking a hyperplane arrangement and getting a new hyperplane arrangement by removing hyperplanes, this is an important operation that you can do on hyperplane arrangements, and it's called suggestively deletion. So deletion just means you remove a hyperplane. And deletion comes with a sibling operation or a dual operation, which is called restriction. Unfortunately, I do not have to erase this, but you have it on the handout. So. Deletion is just remove hydroplane HI and get a new arrangement. Restriction is a little bit funnier. So you take your arrangement, which is vector space V and a bunch of hyperplanes H1, H2, and HN. Now suppose you want to restrict to HI, what this means is that HI will become your ambient space. So that will be your vector space. And you remove HI from this list, and all of your hyperplanes intersect with HI. So you go down one dimension, both in the ambient space and in the hyperplanes. So in terms of, if you would just want, prefer to think of graphs, then deletion is deleting an edge, and restriction is contracting an edge. If you think about it, it kind of makes sense. When you contract an edge, there will be one less vertices. So the dimension of the ambient space goes down by one. And if you want to think of link projections, then it's smoothings. So let me draw you the picture really quickly. So this is your original arrangement. I mean, a little piece of the link projection which will provide your original arrangement, and this is the edge which will give you the hyperplane HI. Then if you do a zero smoothing, that amounts to deleting that edge. And if you do a one smoothing, then both of these vertices will be in the same shaded region. So it will amount to contracting that edge. Lastly, I need to tell you a little bit about the objects which we would like to categorify, and these are polynomial invariants of hyperplane arrangements. Let me just mention three of them. The first one is and simplest one is the characteristic polynomial. When you restrict to graphs, then this restricts to the famous chromatic polynomial, which sort of counts graph colorings. So this gives rise to the chromatic polynomial. The second one is the top polynomial. This is a two-variable polynomial. And, it restricts to the Todd polynomial of graphs, so I don't need to write that out. But the Todd polynomial is a really nice one. It contains a lot of information. So, for example, it has a lot of specializations. If you set the two variables equal, or if you set one of them to zero, it specializes to a number of one-variable polynomials. One of those is the characteristic polynomial. Another one is the Jones polynomial of alternating links. And it also has to do with other things that I know much less about, such as statistical physics and a few other things. Wikipedia knows all about these things. The third one, which the talk is more or less about, is the Jones polynomial, which specializes to the Jones polynomial of things. And one common feature well, two common features that all of these things share. One is that they all satisfy deletion restriction theorems. Let me just to give you an idea what deletion restriction theorems look like, I will tell you the one for the top polynomial. So for example, for the top polynomial, you have that the top polynomial of an arrangement H is the top polynomial of h minus hi, which is if you remove a non-degenerate hyperplane hi, minus the top polynomial of h restricted to hi. I suppose I did not introduce the notation. So restriction we write as superscript, and deletion we write as a minus, so that's fairly intuitive. So that's the one for the top polynomial. It's similar for the characteristic polynomial, and for the Jones polynomial, it's the well-known skin relation. Well, at least it restricts to the well-known skin relation. As I mentioned, the deletion and restriction correspond to smoothness. Okay, so I think I got to the point where I can talk about categorification. What I mean by categorification in this context is really just homologification. So no categories, really. What we want to do is to lift these polynomials to homological invariants. So what does that mean? So we want to construct, so suppose we have a polynomial invariant, say J is the Jones polynomial. We want to lift it to a homological invariant H dot. By the way, this subject has the worst collision of notation. Everything starts by the same letter. Hyperplane arrangements are denoted by curly H, hyperplanes are denoted by H, and homology is denoted by H. And all of the subscripts are denoted by I. So when I was writing this paper, I was rewriting it 5 times by the time I'm not denoting everything by the same letter. But for now, let's just denote it by also H. So it's a sequence of homology groups, or cohomology groups. And each of these is a graded vector space. You can make sense of everything over the integers, and then it's a graded abelian group. But for simplicity, let's just do everything over a field. So hi is a graded vector space, and what you want is that your polynomial invariant is the graded Euler characteristic of the homology. So j should be iq of h dot. What that means is the sum as sum over I, negative 1 to the I times the graded dimension of the vector space Hi. And what graded dimension means, graded dimension is a polynomial. It's the sum over J, the dimension of the J graded piece of Hi times q to the j. Okay, so it's a polynomial which tells you what the dimensions of all the graded pieces of your homology groups are. So if you compute this graded Euler characteristic, you're supposed to get the original polynomial invariant. But this in itself, well, it is or it might be a richer invariant. It might encode more information. But by itself, it's not so interesting. What makes it more interesting is that the structures that come with particular polynomial invariants also lift. So for example, all the deletion restriction theorems will lift to this homological setting and will become long exact sequences. And there's other things. For example, there's ways to compute if you have a product arrangement, which means pretty much what you would think it means, then that leads to Kunneth type formulas and so forth. So there's been obviously a lot of previous work on this type of thing, starting with the Kovanov's categorification of the Jones polynomial. Then there's an odd version of Kovanov homology by Oswald, Rasmussen, and Szabo, which is actually the sort of inspiration for this. I think I'll have time to say a little bit about the actual construction. You'll see that it uses exterior algebras, so that's why it's odd. That's where the word odd comes from. So odd Kovanov homology, and there's also been a lot of work done on categorification for graph polynomials, the chromatic polynomial and the Todd polynomial by Wrong and Helmut-Guizon and Jasso Hernandez. So what Tony and I do is, in a sense, just a common generalization of all of these things. So there's two or three differently flavored categorifications that we construct, and so one big difference between the characteristic and the top polynomials and the Jones polynomial is Rademeister invariance. But for characteristic and the top polynomial, you don't have to worry about Rademeister invariance. And that means you have a lot of freedom. When you're constructing boundary maps, you just want to construct a chain complex that makes sense, and you don't have to worry about it being invariant under anything, or chain homotopic to anything. So you basically, you can choose the differentials in many different ways. And in the paper, we construct two differently flavored categorifications. One uses sort of natural inclusions and projections as differentials. And the other uses wedge maps that use the structure of the exterior algebra a lot. And with the second kind, we get very different theorems. So for example, with this kind of wedge differentials, we get a DG algebra structure on the chain complex. So the homology is not actually just a graded vector space, it's a graded algebra, or bigraded algebra. And the deletion restriction theorems, yes, they are long exact sequences, but in the transition map, in the snake lemma, turns out to always be zero, so it falls apart, and the whole thing is just a semi-direct product. So you'll get the homology for the entire arrangement as a semi-direct product of the deleted one and the restricted one. So you can compute a lot of these things inductively by inductively deleting and restricting edges. And then the other differently flavored thing is the categorification of the Jones polynomial, where you don't have as much freedom because you have to worry about your chain complex being invariant under, at least homotopy invariant under Rademeister. So let me tell you a little bit of specifics in the last 5-10 minutes. I haven't told you the other, I said there's two important features that all of these polynomials share, and one of those is these deletion restriction theorems. The other one is what makes them give in to categorification pretty easily, and this is the property that they can all be computed by state sum formulas. Let me just give you the state sum formula for the Jones polynomial of a hyperplane arrangement. So J of H, it can be computed as a sum for S subsets of the set of numbers from 1 through N, negative 1 to the number of elements of S, times Q to the cardinality of S plus N. Remember that N is the number of hyperplanes. If you prefer to think about links, it's the number of crossings. Times Q plus Q inverse to the dimension of a space which I haven't defined, plus dimension of another space which I haven't defined. So it's a formula where you sum over all the subsets of your hyperplanes, basically, or your crossings. So if you know Kovanov homology, then this corresponds to the smoothings. You would have n crossings, and wherever I is an element of S, you would take the one smoothing, and when I is not an element of S, you would take the zero smoothing, and the sum of dimensions would correspond to the number of circles that you get once you smooth every crossing. Let me define these spaces. So HS is very simple. It is just the intersection of all the hyperplanes, the indices of which are in S. So it's the intersection for all I in S, HI. Now WS is a little bit more complicated. I haven't said what Gale duality was, but it's a Gale dual space to, well, not HS, but HS complement. I first have to define a big space W. The W is the space of linear dependencies between your hyperplanes. What does that mean? Well, by linear dependency between your hyperplanes, I mean linear dependencies between the normal vectors. And what this means precisely is vectors W1, Wn in Rn. So now you're in Rn, where n is the number of hyperplanes. Where previously, when we talked about graphs, you were in Rk, where k is the number of vertices. This is the number of edges. But not all of these, but only those for which the sum of wi mu I is zero. So those vectors in Rn, which are coefficients for a linear dependency between the normal vectors of the hyperplane arrangement. And Ws is the linear dependencies, but only within S. So it's the same thing, except you require that all of the coordinates which are not in S to be zero. So this is W1, Wn, and W, such that Wi equals zero for all I not in S. So how do you construct a chain complex? I will not tell you because I won't have time, but let me just mention how you construct the chain groups, and I will say nothing about the differentials. So for the chain groups, what you do is you basically construct a hypercube of chain groups. So take the take all the subsets of the set of numbers from 1 through n. You can arrange them on a cube. So I'll just read for n equals 3. This is the empty set. This is just 1, just 2, just 3, 1 and 2, 1 and 3, 2 and 3, 1, 2, and 3. And then connect those which contain the second one containing the first. This is a hypercube. And you will put a vector space or a graded space on each of the vertices of the cube, designed so that when you take the graded order characteristic, you will get the polynomial, namely the state sum formula by design. So what you'll put on the vertex corresponding to S is the vector space, which is the exterior algebra on HS plus WS, which is isomorphic to exterior algebra on HS tensor product with exterior algebra on WS. Tensor product is meant in the super sense, so that this is actually true. So why is this good? Well, what are the gradings? The homological grading will just come from the cardinality of S. So you'll get this negative 1 to the X. This is the negative 1 to the I in the graded dimension. And then for the graded dimension of H, if you just took the exterior algebra grading, then you would get 1 plus Q to the sum of these dimensions, which is not quite what you want, but it's sort of, so it's in the right direction. So you'll take the exterior algebra grading, but adjust it, do some shifts and some notational bookkeeping magic, and you'll get it as the graded dimension. And then you define the differentials, which is sort of where you get the lies, but there's no time to go into that, so I'll stop here.
Questions?
Let me just make it clear in my mind. So what you're defining here is isomorphic to the odd Kolmogorov homology?
It's isomorphic to the reduced odd Kolmogorov homology. So it's it is not the same chain complex. Our differentials are different. So one important point that I didn't mention is that our chain complex, as a chain complex, is Gale duality invariant. And odd Kolmogorov homology, well, it's not defined on Hyperplane arrangements, it defines on defined on links, so it doesn't make sense to say whether it's Gale duality invariant or not. But if you just extend it in the most direct way possible, it's not. It will be chain homotopic to its Gale dual, but not isomorphic. So this is one we think neat feature, that it's a sort of symmetric construction of odd Kolmogorov homology, but it is isomorphic. The homology groups are isomorphic.
And does this point of view give some new information about Kolmogorov homology that wasn't known before?
Not that I know of. It's easier to prove that, I think it's easier to prove that it's mutation invariant. And well, it's a generalization. It's more, it's odd Kolmogorov homology for more stuff, not just links. So one thing that we'd like to think about, but haven't really figured out yet, is there might or should be a way to use that this is defined for all graphs, for example, not just planar graphs. So maybe it could be used for virtual knots somehow. It doesn't give you an odd Kolmogorov homology for virtual knots, because for virtual knots, if you think of them as knots drawn on a surface, the checkerboard shading is not well defined. So you can't just say this is hot cover homology for Rachel Mosley. It might give you something for some subclass of Rachel
Mosley. I got an impression that this Hoban homology is independent on only the intersection logic of underlying hyperplane arrangement.
So independent of the ordering? Yes.
Yeah, rather it uses only information of the intersection logic of hyperplane arrangement, so maybe it is determined by intersection logic or even strongly ordering from algebra or something, some kind of object related to hyperplane arrangement.
Possibly. So it's not per se ordering dependent because, so I didn't talk at all about the differentials, but the way it works is you associate maps to the edges on this hypercube, and then you want to flatten the cube and add everything to get the differential. I mean, by add, I mean direct sum. And what you need for the differential square to be zero is the cube to be anti-commutative. So for this, you will have to put some signs. Well, it's not even signs; it's going
to
be scalars on the edges.
Yeah, my question is that if two hyperplane arrangement has the same intersection lattice, then the odd Kovanov homology is the same or not? That is, if the information of the intersection is the same, since in this definition. It uses only the intersection of each hyperplane, so if such a structure is the same, then the result seems to be the same.
So if you mean if each dimension of so each is the same?
So each hyperplane, so there's two hyperplanes and information intersections, that is the ice hyperplane and this hyperplane intersect or not is the same, then the odd Kovanov homology is the same or not? This is my question, it's the simplest form.
That's a good question. I have a suspicion that it's not, but I would have to think about it.
Well, thank you very much.